This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is the Besotted Weekend Review Podcast, and I'm Billy Grant, and I'm coming to you after a weekend which was slightly disappointing, it has to be said. We played Leicester. Leicester came down to New Griffin Park, and another hard-fought game it was, as the Bees didn't quite get the result that we wanted as we went down 2-1 to the mighty Leicester, who just come back from Russia. And I'm sitting here in the virtual joint with my chums. I've got Laney in the house. How are you?
I'm okay, mate. Yeah, it's been interesting to have 24 hours to kind of digest yesterday. We normally do it straight afterwards, so it's I think maybe a little bit more measured probably tonight. We'll see though.
Yeah, I mean a little bit more measured. I mean, saying that, we do normally give it 24 hours. It's just that the match is normally on a Saturday and we do it on a Sunday morning or a Sunday afternoon, but we decided we were going to do it actually Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening this time. But I think it was a little bit raw, and as we were standing in the pub afterwards in the Globe, we were just thinking, I don't know if we can do this, like, you know, we need to leave it 24 hours. So everyone who's been listening out, and I'll tell you something, so many people again keep coming up to us and giving us the props and the hats, the drink water and all these characters coming up to us. Very much appreciate your support, you know, as we see you at the game, because we've got no idea who's listening to us half the time. So thank you very much for the support, and don't forget to check out PrideOfWest.London for the post-match podcast from the terraces as well. We've got the Allard in the house. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. It was quite a long day yesterday in the end, and I'm okay.
Is that good? Okay, considering, I mean, you left out the considering there, the Allard, because there is a considering there, isn't there?
Yeah, there is a considering. Yeah, it was I think I was disappointed, but I think you have to start bringing in a lot of perspective and stuff, and then you start thinking of things differently. That's kind of where I am.
That's right. I think we're all of the same ilk here, as in we're thinking of things differently, we're trying to think positively as well, but also we try to give be kind of sort of really fair about what's going on. But listen, this is the Weekend Review Podcast. Every match we review the match from the weekend before, which is the Brentford match. We talk about a number of main points and we quite succinctly talk about them. We discuss them, and then if there's any points that come out, we discuss them further in the Thursday podcast, which this week will actually probably be on a Friday, because obviously we've got a match on Thursday against Stoke City. So, like I said, watch out for that one. But anyway, let's crack on. I want to find out, Laney, for you, what was your main takeaway from that match?
Well, my main takeaway, considering the 24 hours have elapsed and it's given me an opportunity to watch the highlights again, first half. I watched pretty much all of the first half on the Sky. My main takeaway is that we should have scored five goals, or we could have scored five goals in the first half. And it didn't actually seem like that afterwards, and it might not have seemed that at the time, but we were really unlucky, I think. And we have been unlucky the last couple of matches. We've lost two games at home on the trot, which is never good. And there's nothing positive losing two games ever at home. So I let run through them very quickly. Pontus header, that should have gone in, but then he was punched fully in the head by Schmeichel, which the commentator said was a Stonewall pen, and it wasn't even, the referee didn't even look at it, I don't think. The goal that was disallowed, was it actually offside? It's different angles. VAR is the ultimate arbiter on that, but VAR doesn't seem to be doing us any favours at the moment. Mbeumo's miss again, that should have been. Norgaard's overhead kick again, another great save. And Ivan Toney header, which on another day he heads down and Schmeichel tips over. Five really, really good chances on top of the one we did score in the second half. But yeah, my main takeaway is you know, it seems like, you know, we've been found out or we've been done over by the Foxes, but we've probably done ourselves over, I think, and that's a little bit more frustrating.
That is, listen, major frustration when, like I said to you, I mean, I came away from that game, I'll talk about that in a bit as well, and out of the three losses that we've had so far this season, this one is actually the one that hurt the most, which should technically probably be one of the ones that you probably think, okay, whatever. I mean, just, Laney, give us your marks out of 10 for that match and your main takeaways.
I thought the match itself was probably 7. But it had the makings, really, of kind of a 9 or a 10, I'd say. But yeah, no, I'll go for 7. It was enjoyable, but just not really enjoyable.
Okay. And the Allards?
Yeah, my main takeaway is that this Premier League lark, it's not quite as easy as I thought it was maybe 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I guess it was just... It just shows that if you don't take, as Laney's almost said there, if you don't take advantage of your opportunities, you will get punished. And we got punished. And that sort of is, I guess, what this league is about. It's what everybody told us this league was about. And we saw it. We saw it against Chelsea and we saw it, I think, even more against Leicester.
Yeah, I mean... Got a question. Do you think that we should have... I mean, the thing about it is that we were all over them. I mean, it's funny because, you know, when you hear the opposition fans, they don't really kind of admit to these things, but we were all over them for the 20 minutes. We didn't score the goals that we could have or should have done. You know, if we did do it, it would have been a completely different game. You know, they got a goal out of the blue. Brilliant goal, admittedly, you know, but then we still came back at them, you know, and eventually got that goal. And again, I felt when we got that goal, they were reeling. Do you think that, you know, we should have maybe have sort of kind of shut up shop a little bit at 1-1, you know, bearing in mind what Leicester are like on the counter-attack?
Yeah, I thought that. I did have thought that, but I don't think it's our style, to be honest. And we had that free kick and we threw everyone forwards and we got caught out because we were looking... for a winner, simple as that. That's what we do, and to be honest, that's how we line up for free kicks.
I say we shouldn't have shut up shop because the chances are Leicester have got that in their locker and they're going to score. You know, they're a proper potent team. You know, they scored 4 against Man United. Okay, that may not look so great after them conceding 5 yesterday, but they score in every game, and then we do risk the dingbats of, like, you know, well we were looking for the point, you know. We shouldn't change the way we play. I think it served us well in this division. We lose trying to win, and we win trying to win, and I think that's scared a lot of teams, and it will continue to. I think it's our greatest gift is our ability to not fear attacking.
And just really quickly, I think this is what Leicester football fans have watched for many years. They won the Premier League hitting teams on the counter attack. They had, you know, negative possession and that. So they're used to it, and I'm sure that's exactly why they said what they said and wouldn't give us that many props, because they won the league doing what they did to us yesterday.
Yeah, I hear that. And for me, I think that for me, my main takeaway is that. We lost 2-1, you know, we're losing by the odd goal, you know what I'm saying? We're not losing by 7-0, you know, or 3-0 or 4-0 at the moment, you know, it's the odd goal. And only the Liverpool game is on that she saw 3 goals, or, you know, more than sort of kind of, you know, quite a plentiful of goals scored against us. So I think that's a positive, which means that we are always in the game. And even though towards the back end of this game, it seemed to be slipping away with us. We'll talk about that a little bit later, where the vibe kind of went when we made the substitutions. We were still in that game. We could have scored and we would have been back in it and we got a draw. So I think that's a big positive for us, especially going into the next run of games that we're going into as well. I think the strength in depth, or the possible lack of strength in depth, as we said, as well as the injuries, is something that we need to watch out for. Because I think already, and it's only October now, and that's actually starting to really take effect for us. So I think that's a big takeaway for us. When the substitutes came on, we went, okay, well, let's see how that's going to work out. And, you know, and when we looked at who was on the bench and stuff, you know, again, not taken away from those players, but we thought, okay, right, okay, this is, you know, as soon as we get 2 or 3 players out, you know, this is a difference in our side as well. The other thing I'd say is, I mean, you talked about, you know, how we set up and the fact that, you know, maybe we should have, you don't think we're going to shut up stop. The Kevin Keegan in Brentford, the Kevin Keegan in us says, you know, we did it at West Ham and it worked, and he tried it against Leicester and he won't. And do we continue to do that? Somebody actually kind of sort of said, of course, if they're doing to it, Brentford are like Blackpool. Blackpool back in the day, aren't they? You know, they're going to get found out. You know, they start off brightly and then they're going to fall off. And, you know, they're not, they haven't got a crystal ball, so they don't know. But the one thing I will say is that our home form at the moment now is probably a little bit more disappointing than I would have thought it was. We would have liked it to have been Fortress Griffin Park, but we've lost, is it three games now? And they've all been at Griffin Park. Okay, they're big teams, but still, you know, and maybe those games where we lost them, maybe we would be looking at hopefully having a draw instead of a loss. So Leicester have a draw, Brighton have a draw, and then it's all of a sudden it's a different story altogether. So maybe we need to have to look at, you know, how we do that. You know, obviously on the pitch, the coaches do that, but as fans as well, because the atmosphere in some games probably could be a little bit better. But anyway, that's the main takeaway for myself. Yeah, Lord, give us a marks out of 10 for your main takeaway in the game.
Well, I suppose for the game itself, I'm sort of relaying you. I thought it was a blistering first half, really, really high scored, but I thought it really petered out, to be honest. So I'm inclined to give it 7 out of 10.
Okay, 7, and I'm going to give mine a 7 out of 10 as well. So I think we're across the board there, 7 out of 10 for this one. So look, anyway, but we've given our main takeaways away as well, but we're going to go to the opposition. We're going to talk to Jamie, who was on the pre-match podcast as well. Jamie Thorpe as well, the Leicester fan, and he's going to give us his main takeaways as a Leicester fan.
Hello, everyone. Jamie Thorpe here, big Leicester City fan, here to give a little bit of an insight from a Leicester point of view into today's game. The main takeaway from my point of view is that, firstly, that Brentford, if they continue playing like that, and indeed as they did last week, we'll be absolutely fine in the Premier League. We spoke on the previous podcast about how attacking intent, not playing within yourself, not being cowed by the opposition is very important. And I think it's fair to say that Brentford did all of that and more, and were very unfortunate not to come away with something from the game. But that being said, I think the other takeaway that you'll all probably agree with now, having seen it firsthand in the last couple of games, is that ultimately, if you don't take your chances, the quality of the league is so high that other teams can create these moments of magic out of nowhere that can punish you. We saw it an awful lot in our first season in particular. We were performing well in games, but coming away empty-handed because of the brilliance of certain players. And Yuri Tielemans' goal, hugely against the run of play, real bolt from the blue, but it was absolutely exceptional. Half volley coming towards him, he's got to keep the ball down, he's got to keep it travelling to beat the keeper from there, and it was an absolutely sensational goal. And then the second goal for Leicester, whilst we got back into the game, I thought in the second half Brentford was still obviously creating, still pressing, and it was again incisive breakaway, wonderful finish, and wonderful run, ball through, and then a simple finish from Madison, who sort of played up to the abuse that he was getting a little bit. But hey, they've all been playing with Jamie Vardy, and from a Leicester fan's point of view, I think we're going to take massive encouragement from that. I think Brentford were, you know, it's been earmarked as it is a very tricky game for a reason, and it certainly was. The atmosphere at the ground was absolutely phenomenal. Even the players, from Leicester players, Leicester management have pointed upon that. But in Patson Daka, it looks like we finally have a man who looks to be showing all the promise to succeed Jamie Vardy, perhaps. And now an injury to Vardy, which may have occurred today, whilst obviously not something that you want to see, is no longer the utter disaster there would have been for us a couple of seasons ago. So that was excellent from our point of view. A match score out of 10. I think it was an excellent advert for the league in that it was an open game. It was entertaining. I'm sure any neutral fans watching that would have enjoyed it. So I think it's probably a 7 out of 10. The game was ultimately decided by two absolutely fantastic goals. Lots of endeavour as well. Lots of good play on display. So I'll give it a 7 out of 10. In terms of fairness, it's obviously really going to be trying my very best to put an objective head on this. I think if you take the first half alone, it was hugely against the run of play. I would have felt extremely hard done by myself not to have been ahead in the first half, let alone behind. Taking the second half, where I thought it was more even, Leicester came back into it. I thought defending backs to the wall at times, but ultimately stopped anything too clear cut. So If the Chelsea game was 31%, then I think Leicester's was probably around the 50 mark. Not the fairest result for you at all. But ultimately, got to score the goals to win the games. But a fantastic game. There's a lot to love about Brentford, a lot to like about the club and the players and the fans. So wish you all the best with the rest of the season until the return trip at the King Power. And look forward to seeing you all then. Cheers.
So there you go, Jamie Thorpe, Leicester fan, giving us his opposition takeaways. Very interesting. Gave us a bit of props there as well. You know, to be fair, it's nice when you hear the opposition actually saying that they think that Brentford are going to do all right in the league as well, because I trust them and I believe them because they've seen lots of Premier League games, so which is all good. But anyway, talking about that match, the Brentford eye catcher, the player who you thought did the business, the Allard.
Well, I think it's lazy to say Norgaard, but it feels like it is every week. So I'll give you Zanka. Mainly because he scored a goal. I thought he's been a great signing, a really good signing, because he's come in and he's just done what he needs to do. Got his first goal, but he also had to swap sides as well in a three-man defence when Pinnock got injured. So yeah, I'm going with him.
Okay, Zanka and Laney.
I can't overlook Christian Norgaard. I know what Matt's saying. I think it's normally Ivan Tony that gets all the pats on the back on this one, but I think Norgaard was genuinely world class yesterday. I think he anticipated everything. He was so strong in the way that he, you know, one of the opposition would take the first touch and he'd be there and he'd just straight jump in across them and nick possession back, and he was setting stuff up, and he was up against some really, really tough midfielders, and he shone. You know, he looks a world class player, and you know, again, he should have scored again for the second game with another acrobatic effort. So I think he's really coming into his own, and he's really found his level. And what a player! Just what a player!
And marks out of 10 for Norgaard Lane?
9. I'd have to be 9. He needs to score, and that's how he's gonna, you know, that's how he's gonna get a 10. But you know, that's 9 for the second week running.
And the Allard Zanka?
8.
8 out of 10. And between the two, I've got the same, actually. I've got Zanka and Norgaard, who I thought were tremendous. I think Zanka as well is one of those ones where, because he came on a free transfer, it's a little bit of like, okay, who's he? You know, it's a bit like when Janelt sort of popped up, you know, out of the blue, not very much money, and you sort of, there's no pressure on him, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, blimey, he's quite good. And with Zanka, I thought it was going to be a little bit of a, like the geezer that we got from the MLS / West Ham last season. I can't even remember what his name is. You know the guy, though. You know, he played sort of back end of the season.
Oh, Winston Reid.
Winston Reid. I thought it was going to be a bit of a Winston Reid type signing, where we just do it for a bit of experience and sort of kind of rabble rousing in the dressing room. But Zanka's definitely been more than that as well. He's been tremendous. He really has. And, you know, he's slotted in perfectly. You know, he's just calm on the ball. He's commanding as well. And I think he's been great. But for me, Norgaard was on another level. You know, he was, you know, when we say to his world class, international class, interestingly, I mean, I watched Match of the Day for the very first time. I actually watched the whole one. I mean, I did see the clip of Match of the Day last time, the little bit we showed the Brentford feature, but this is the first time since about 20 years I've actually seen the whole of Match of the Day. I've not seen the Arsenal game one or the Chelsea game or any of those ones. So I actually sat back and I watched the whole thing from beginning to the end. And the one thing I noticed is that we're second as well. So it must be my luck that we've actually turned up and we're second on the Match of the Day. And then they talked about the fact that, you know, they were going on about Michael Richards was going, oh, Tielemans, man. He was like, oh, yeah, he was all over the place. He was this, he was bossing the midfield. And I was thinking, you must have just watched the highlights, because, you know, I'm not being funny, but Norgaard was in there. He was blocking, he was tackling, he was running, he was doing everything. And I thought that, you know, Norgaard really did have a grip on that midfield. I'm not knocking Tielemans, great player, but Norgaard definitely man of the match for me. And I'm going to give him a big, like Laney, a 9 out of 10. I'll even try to give him a 9.5, actually, out of 10. I'll give him knock half off for him not scoring that.
Can I just jump in real quick? I have to say that a 10 out of 10 moment was that Rico Henry, when he had Vardy in his pocket. I thought that was incredible. I almost said Rico for that, but we ought to move on.
Yeah, that's definitely good. So listen, I mean, we've got obviously the Brentford eye catcher, but there's always the opposition players who may actually kind of catch your eye as well. Who do you think the opposition danger person was, Laney?
The pantomime villain, James Madison. He was great, wasn't he? He was great, horrible. He was a bastard. He was brilliant. He was a shitbag, and he was just scintillating. He was just everything. And I just don't know why the fans chose to give him so much grief, because he absolutely thrives on it. It's like an injection of another percent or another 5% every time he plays. He just wants to do it just to wind the fans up, and he had his moment, and he had his blooming, you know, his dramatic kind of overreaction down by the corner flag and winding the fans up. But it was coming, and we got to learn as fans. You give players like that shit, they will give you shit back, and it's all right when it's like, you know, down when it's, you know, it's a QPR player, and they're genuinely not very good. But these guys are very good, and they will catch your shit, and they will rub it in your face. So learn, please learn.
Yeah, but to be fair, to say this as well, to be fair, he did start it, and he didn't start it this day. He started it 4 years ago, whenever it was, when Norwich came down to Griffin Park and he scored that great goal, and then he ran over to the Ealing Road and he properly gave it large, and he really, really did. And I think since then, you know, we've been very unhappy with him, you know what I'm saying? And when he came again, and we just knew what he's going to be like. And even in his press conference, he said, he goes, oh, I love it. You know, I love scoring at their end as well, than giving it to them. Like, you know, so he was loving it as well. And he said,
that's my motivation.
Oh yeah, that's there, his motivation.
There you go. I'm not saying we've got to like him. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we've got to like him, but you know, you're giving Vardy's wife grief, you're giving him grief saying he's never going to play for England. They're both going to score against you. Just get behind Brentford. I'm not saying don't have a laugh, but I'm just like, get behind your team. Don't give opposition players an extra reason to want to score against you.
I mean, the thing about it is that he is annoying. I mean, we're right on Madison here, but we've got to just talk about it because you brought him up. We were talking about him moving into a Brentford league, aren't we, the Allard, in the pub?
Yeah, we were saying that we should have a league of maybe the top 10 players, not players that have played for Brentford, because I think that becomes easier with your Harley Deans and your Martin Rowlands, but it's the players that haven't played for Brentford, don't have a connection with the club as such, the top 10 hated opponents. I think we kind of know who's top of that.
Yeah, well, he's close, but again, don't get me wrong. I hate him, but that's fine. Let's talk about him afterwards, not during the game, because we know what he thrives on.
Okay, so listen, yeah, we might come up with that actually, and we might get you guys to help us with that actually, to compile a top 10 most hated players by Brentford fans. Who's number one, by the way? Do you think, Elod?
Are we allowed to say Jamie Curran? I'm not sure.
Yeah, you're not allowed to say him on this show, actually. Listen, give us a marks out of 10 for Madison.
10. Right, shitbag,
okay.
10.
Right. All right, okay. The Allod, your opposition.
Tielemans for me. I hear what you're saying about Norgaard, and the reason I put Tielemans there is that in spite of Norgaard charging around and being incredible yesterday, Tielemans still operated, and he operated really well. He obviously scored that incredible goal. He also played, although it wasn't technically the assist, he played the through ball for the second goal. I just think he's class. I was nervous about him before the game. I'm pretty sure that the spreadsheet winker said, don't give him space outside the box to shoot, and we did. And he was a worldly, and maybe we couldn't do anything about it. He's a class act. I think if you're picking a Premier League first 11, I think he's in it. Yeah. He's that good.
Yeah, yeah. And now, listen, I hear that as well. And I actually have a bit of a problem with my opposition 11, because this is the time then you try to be really kind of neutral, okay? And then you're just trying to be, listen, you're talking about football here, and you're not talking about any kind of sort of anger or hatred, like, you know what I'm saying? And I looked at it and I thought, oh, Madison, I can't choose Madison, can I? And I looked, oh, Schmeichel, time wasting, quite a few could say, oh, I can't choose him, like, you know, who else could I do? Schüller, Daka, but he only played half a game, but, you know, he did sort of lay the ball off of that goal. So I was looking at all these players, but in the end, I thought Tielemans, just like you, actually, he was good, you know, and he was good. And that ball that he played off, that sort of laid it in, which sort of kind of set up the second goal as well. What a fantastic that was. And also his goal that he scored. So fair play to him. And I'll give him as well. I'm going to give him a 8.5 out of 10. Did you give him a score for Tielemans?
I haven't yet. No, I'm going to give him an 8 out of 10. I thought he was good, but he didn't run it. There's no doubt about that. Norgaard, you know, at times kept him at bay.
Yeah. So, okay. So, listen, moving on. In the match, like I said to you, they don't always go to plan. There are certain moments within the match. It might be before the match, during the match, after the match, maybe in the pub, wherever you're going. There's going to be a stinker of the match or stinker of the day. Lainey, what's your stinker?
I'm going to give it to VAR. It doesn't seem to like us. I'm still confused why they seem to check some teams' chances, some opportunities, and they haven't checked ours. I mean, I think there's, you know, the penalty last week, you know, the Chelsea situation. We still don't really know why that was checked or wasn't checked, rather. And then yesterday, I think, you know, as I said, the penalty that should have been given, the punch on Pontus, the goal, you know, Ivan Toney certainly wasn't offside. We watched it a dozen times. He wasn't offside when Rico plays the ball through to him. And I'm struggling to see how Rico is offside. It needs better explanation at the very least. I didn't see it. If it came up on the screen, it did. It just looked like it hasn't been thoroughly checked. And I just need to know where we stand, because, you know, some clubs are getting let offs and goals that are given when they're thinking they've been ruled out, and we seem to be getting nothing at the moment. You know, that needs to turn around, because I'm not anti VAR necessarily, because I think it should be, you know, I've said before, the arbiter of getting things exactly right. It's stopped being that now. I don't know how it's being used. And I just know it's not being used to help us at the moment. So VAR gets my stinker of the week.
Okay, all right, the Allard.
I'm actually going to give it to VAR as well. I'm going to give it slightly different reasons to Lainey, in that I think actually it they're not doing a very good job of explaining how it's being used. I think especially offsides is where the problem is. So if you think of last week, where we all said Toney was onside when he was given offside, and then he was brought down for a penalty. I think that wasn't VAR'd because it didn't lead to a goal, because I think they only go back and look at it when it does lead to a goal. So they didn't. So for whatever reason, that doesn't get wrapped into the VAR thing. I think with the one yesterday for the offside, there actually is a VAR screenshot now with a line that shows that Toney was slightly offside because he was leaning forwards and the defender was leaning in the other way. And maybe, I don't know whether... What, for whatever reason, it is slightly offside, right? But the problem is that on the TV broadcast, we didn't see that because we were in the stadium. TV broadcast, it took half an hour or so for that shot to come up. So basically, it created this whole thing in like the Twitter sphere where everyone was saying it doesn't look offside. And I think they used a screenshot that was slightly before Henry kicks the ball and Toney looks onside at that point. So I just don't think it's just not being explained very well. It's not being used very well, and it is causing loads of confusion. I'm also with the Pontus thing. I don't know why that wasn't looked at. That could easily have been a penalty. Maybe it was looked at and they decided it wasn't. But Pontus did sort of get punched in the face, albeit that he had headed the ball by the time he got punched in the face.
Yeah, but if a late tackle goes in and a midfielder badly controls the ball, he gets to the ball first and the ball doesn't reach a part, the pass isn't completed or it goes out for a throw-in. If someone goes in late and then breaks his ankle, that's still a red card offence. It's not about the accuracy. Yeah. It's not about the accuracy of the chance or the pass. It's about the late challenge, and it was a late challenge.
I don't disagree. I just think that's why it might not have been given. Because you can still make a very good argument. If there's a fist coming at your face, you're probably not going to be able to head the ball, you know, on target, because you're going to be thinking about trying to avoid that as well. So I just think it's not clear how it's being used. I suppose we're new to it, and I'm not really clear. I can think I can come up with explanations, but I'm just not sure it's clear.
Yeah, but for me, on a clean sweep here, I've gone VAR as well, and it's not just because I think the thing is that a lot of people just moan about VAR and they just say if it doesn't go your way, we hate VAR. But I'm like you, where the confusion is here, you know, people looking back on it saying, oh, actually, maybe we should have had a goal last week against Chelsea, which would have changed things massively in our favour. Apparently, today on TalkSport, there was a referee talking, saying, actually, you know, we should have got a penalty. I believe it was, or was it the offside? The offside should have not been an offside, I think it was. But the referee was talking about it on TalkSport as well, you know. And, you know, like I said to you, it's the whole VAR thing is so up in the air. And it's even worse when decisions don't go your way, and it just does kill the vibe. So you're sort of thinking, all of a sudden you've got a situation where VAR kills the vibe in a game where you're sitting down there where you can't even celebrate because you don't know whether or not it's going to be a goal or not, you know, and then it doesn't go your way anyway. So I think that they need to, I think, as you said, I think this new offside rule, which is a bit of a nightmare. I mean, I don't know if you ever have to run the line on a Sunday morning or Saturday or Sunday morning. I mean, I do it for, you know, my daughter's team sometimes. I have to run the line, and the nightmare we have is sitting down there thinking, all right, we have to do the new rule where, you know, if you're offside, you can't actually kind of flag it until, you know, a particular moment or so where somebody touched the ball and stuff like that. And it's really actually really quite confusing. So I think that this has actually kind of thrown a new element into it, as Matt said, you know, as to what, you know, what you do look out for and what VAR might call up. And I just think that that rule for me is just, it's just really kind of messed things up massively, because it's just made things really complicated. So for me, the VAR, I'm going to give the VAR a 9 out of 10 as well, because it's lost us, I reckon it's lost us at least a couple of points, to be quite honest with you. So that's the stinker of the
match. I need to give my VAR bill. I'm going to give it.
Didn't you give a 9?
No, I don't think I did, but I'm going to give it a 9, so it's not that exciting. I'll tell you what I'm also going to say, though, is that I go and watch my niece play football sometimes now, and I dread the day they ask me to run the line, because, to be honest, I don't particularly understand the rule. I kind of can work it out when I see it. And the other thing is that I actually genuinely thought that it was offside when I was in the stadium and I didn't stand up to celebrate, because I just thought it was offside, which it was far closer than I thought it was when I actually looked back at it on the TV.
Yeah, and I have to admit, I mean, I ran the line, was it not last week, not this weekend, the weekend beforehand, I ran the line, and I have to admit, I missed two dead cert offsides as well. I was pulled up on it by my colleagues on the byline. I goes, come on, Bill, keep up with the game. I missed two dead certs as well, because, again, I didn't know when to put the flag up or put it down, and when they touch it, you know, didn't keep up with play, you know, that kind of stuff, you know. Game got ahead of me. So, yes, I'm with you there, the LRD, you know. You just have to sort of come to the game late, sort of sneak in a little bit late so they don't hand the flag to you, don't you?
I used to wear footwear that wouldn't allow you to run the line.
Actually, somebody turned up the other day, he was wearing Wellington boots on AstroTurf, like, you know what I'm saying?
That's why, because he didn't want to run the line.
Anyway, listen, moving on. Key moment. Tell me, Laney, what was your key moment?
I think my key moment was Mbeumo's miss. I think at that stage, then I turned to you and said, that's really going to cost us. And I think that kind of dictated what happened afterwards. I know we equalised, but I think at that stage I stopped thinking that we would win after what was a great start. I just thought, oh yeah, it's going to be another like frustrating afternoon. And, you know, I won't lie, and, you know, when Zanka equalised, I thought, oh, it's a good chance we can go on and win it, because we could have done. For me personally, I reset my expectations of that game, because I think, you know, there'd been a few that had gone before. Having watched them back, I didn't realise quite how good they were. But I thought, yeah, if Mbeumo's not scoring, it's probably not going to be our afternoon again, because Tony was getting no service and that didn't improve. So yeah, for me, that was my kind of turning point.
The Elard?
Mine was actually, so we go 1-1, and you kind of feel the momentum's with us, and then Frank the Tank, he breaks through and Maddison brings him down, and Maddison takes a yellow card, he takes it on the chin, and he stops that sort of momentum. Everyone has to get, gives Leicester time to get back. We take a free kick. Schmeichel gathers it. He goes long. I think it's Iheanacho, isn't it? Gets past Rico, and they score their goal. They came straight up our end and score their goal. And if Maddison doesn't commit that foul there, all of that doesn't happen, right? You know? And there's also a little bit of me that thinks if Rico does the same as Maddison, then Leicester don't score the second.
So basically you're saying it's quite similar to like what last season when we weren't taking players out, when we probably thought we should have been. We weren't sort of kind of as shithousery as we thought we should be, and we tried to change up our game. So that's basically saying that a bit of shithousery goes down very well?
Unfortunately, yes. I mean, I don't think it should be rewarded, but it is, and that's the game, isn't it? Then,
yeah. And for me, I actually think the key moment for me was actually Mbeumo's injury, because when he got injured, you know, basically we kind of ended up sort of making the substitutions so in and around then, and the substitutions that came on didn't really work. And we've had subs before that have worked, but the subs didn't work this time, and it was a bit frustrating because at that time we were, even though we've gone behind, you know, we were doing very well, went behind, but still we kept on going. And that first half, we were right in the game. And then the second half, you know, we equalised and you could feel the crowd were behind it again. That goal that, as you said, came completely out of the blue again, but fair play to them, very well taken goal. And that kind of knocked the wind out of us as well. And then the substitutions, I think, which came after that, just really just knocked the wind out of us. I think the substitutions came after that, didn't they? But anyway, I could feel that when Mbeumo came on, the substitutions, they didn't give us another option and onto there, and that for me was, I think, a key point in the game, because the crowd went flat, the team went flat, and we just kind of felt that we're not going to get back from that one. So yeah, so for me that was a massive frustrating moment, and a massive key moment for the Bees. Listen, but positives and negatives rolled into one, Laney.
Positives, the amount of chances that we created, and we've done it in every game, and that's important, because, you know, and I've said it doesn't seem that a lot of luck is going our way. We're still creating really high quality chances, so the XG is going to be good again. So that's important. That's all that kind of really matters. I think, you know, we're not going to win every game, and we are going to lose games at this level. You know, if anyone thinks that we're going to get promoted to the Premier League and we're going to be unbeaten most weeks, like, reset your expectations, please, because it's going to do us all a big favour over the course of the season. We're learning on the job, and we're doing a brilliant job in learning. So, you know, enjoy it. So as I said, creating these chances is the most important thing. I do believe the VAR jinx is going to go our way soon. I do believe that the chances will start going in the back of the net rather than the bar or worldies that are tipped over by the keeper. I think that tide will change. So they're the positives. And the negatives that are kind of tied to that a little bit was, there online afterwards, I started to sniff that the two defeats, it was already enough to have some fans stretching for the panic button. You know, there was, I'm not gonna name people or whatever, because, you know, there's no positive in that doing that, but I think there's a, you know, it was a few comments going around about, you know, hypercritical, I'd say, and I don't think anything I've seen this season warrants that, because, you know, you said it earlier, Bill, the three defeats have all been just by a single goal. We've been in every single game, and we've done ourselves, our club, our town and our supporters proud this year, and we are going to lose games. So I think the negative is that already people are kind of looking for excuses to kind of start slagging the team off. They don't deserve that, and we just realise we are going to lose games this year, and the quicker you get used to that, the quicker your stress levels will go down. I'm not saying get, you know, ever accept it, and, you know, obviously we want our team to win, but, you know, just rein in your expectations and your demands sometimes this year.
Yeah, lad.
Yeah, so my positive is that I think we're really good at set pieces, aren't we now? You know, I think it's come gradually, and I just think, yeah, we're really good at them. Whether it's, you know, corners. I mean, Jensen took so much criticism, but on Saturday he hits the near post, he hits the guy at the near post, he scores. The long throw-ins, maybe not. Maybe Mads is our main guy on that, but nevertheless, it still causes trouble. I just think we're really good at set pieces. That's my positive. My negative, I don't think we're quite as threatening in open play as we have been. I just would like us to... I love it when one of our players sort of gets to the byline or the edge of the area and he just pulls it back and somebody goes into the into the penalty area around the penalty spot, they're the easiest goals to score. I'm not seeing that move at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, that's been proven as well. The stats are there where our set-piece XG is very high and our open play XG is not quite as high. And as one thing we talked about as well in the pub, where we see these people like, you know, Tielemans and, you know, Buendia, you know, and Trossard from Brighton as well, you know, they bang the ball. Just get the ball outside the area and then bang, back of the net, you know. And it's almost like we kind of seem to have it drummed into us that, you know, with the XG, you need to literally put the ball on the six-yard box and put it in the back of the net. If you're an open play, you know, like Mbeumo did last week or the week before, you know, so that seems to be the way that we play, and we're just sort of thinking, you know, maybe we need to have a little bit more of that cavalier to us as well. I mean, I know somebody said that maybe, you know, the players that we have are not as good as these players, but how do you know? Because, you know, they've done it. I mean, Yenel has done it a few times that he's been, you know, on the pitch as well. And I know that obviously Benrahma was the person that used to sort of pull it out of the hat for us if we needed to. We haven't got a Benrahma at the moment now, but like I said to you, maybe this is coming out of the injuries that we've got. So Visa, you know, we've seen the goals that he scored, and you know, maybe this is something that he's got in his hat as well, but obviously we can't see it because he's injured at the moment now. So so I'm hearing that. I mean, for me, the you know, the positives and the negatives are the fact we're still competing. You know, listen, every single game we've not been out of it, not one game. Like I said to you, we haven't done a Norwich, or we haven't done a, you know, what of these other teams out there, even Arsenal, you know, they've been completely out of it. Man United, I mean, that's a prime example of a team that has been absolutely battered, you know, by a team that we managed to hold, you know, on our own turf as well. Liverpool, like, you know, so like we haven't done a Man United or a Norwich or any of these other stuff. So I think that for me is a massive positive. The slight worry, again, if you come to stats on the XG side, is that, you know, that how much creation we're making. Okay, we're doing all right in defence. Okay, we let in two goals this week, but defensively we're doing all right. But, you know, we need to be creating more. I mean, if you look at the XG, I think we're in the Justice League, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. We're about number four, I think it is, in the Justice League, which means that we're creating a lot, but we're obviously not putting the ball in the back of the net, considering we're in 12th place in the league. Like, you know, so, you know, is that down to lucky? Is it down to really bad finishing? Is it down to, you know, headspace? I don't know what it is, but, you know, obviously if we'd put the balls in from the chances that we're creating, then we would actually be probably in the top six, or not say probably, we would be in the top six without a shadow of a doubt. We might even be sort of kind of top four, like, you know. So we're not scoring the goals that we should be. So is that a worry? You know, Ivan Toney, has he got too much pressure on him? Should he be playing a different role further up the pitch? Is he doing too much work all over the pitch? I don't know, you know. And like I said to you, edge of the area shooting like these other people are doing, maybe we just need to get involved in a little bit more spontaneity and just getting out there and see and actually shooting the ball on target. So but anyway, that's positives and negatives for me. On the away day, there's, you know, the fans, the away day, the day out, Laney, give us your thoughts on that.
My day out was pretty crap, if I'm honest with you. I realised that the trains weren't working from where I am, so I had to drive, and that just really changed everything, because I just couldn't get to the pub earlier. I couldn't have something to eat early. I couldn't have a drink afterwards, really, because I knew I had to drive back. So that wasn't great. The atmosphere in the stadium, I thought, was really decent. I think the players gave us every reason to get behind the team. I thought first half the singing was really good. I think the Ivan Toney song starting to take root. We just need a goal from him now, and I think the whole place will be doing the old Baccarat kind of "Yes Sir, Ivan Toney," and I think that's about to erupt. That's going to be great later on in the season. Still can't hear the away end. I think they were really, really loud, but we can't hear them, so I'm not equipped to comment on them. I didn't meet any on the way in or on the way out, so I think the new stadium means we're kind of very disconnected from the away fans. We don't see them. And you know, our local pub is probably too far away from them for many of them to want to go to. So yeah, I think I'm missing that a bit. You know, I think I think that's been diluted a little bit, that we're not sort of getting our chums, our chum fix. But yeah, so overall, I thought it was a 7 out of 10, which is not bad.
Okay, 7 out of 10. The Allard.
Yeah, I mean, we're sort of mixing it up a bit. We did go back to the Globe after the game, which was good fun seeing everybody. But before the game, I don't like it's these 2 o'clock kickoffs. I don't like these 2 o'clock kickoffs. There's just not enough time because nowhere apart from the odd pub opens before midday. Nowhere that serves alcohol. Sorry, and I suppose it depends whether you really need alcohol. Opens before midday, but we did find a brunch place that did amazing Bloody Marys. So that worked really rather well. That was in Chiswick, and then a bit beers and an Italian craft beer place, and then jumped on the bus. Only a quick 2 or 3 minutes on the bus to the ground, and then we went. So it was we had a really really good day out in that respect. I think we were really good as fans at the probably up to about the 65th minute, and then I think as it drops a bit on the pitch, it probably dropped a bit in the crowd as well. I hear what Laney's saying about the away supporters. It must be the design of the stadium. It'd be interesting actually to go up the east end and see whether you can actually hear the west stand, particularly because we certainly don't seem to be able to hear the away fans. Even I'm north, albeit a bit quite far towards west. So it's a bit odd, that, isn't it? Or is it that none of the away fans make any noise? I don't know.
So give us a marks out of 10 for your dad.
It was eight. It was an 8. Yeah, yeah. But these 2 o'clock kickoffs, can we just not? Can they be 3 o'clock? It's not on telly. Why is it at 2 o'clock?
Yeah. Good question. And for me, I was on the driving actually as well on the rear front, because I actually went out. I went to the Lionesses game at Wembley the day before, and it was quite a long day. I got to Vaux Park, which is normally quite rubbish Vaux Park, but I actually went there before the game, and it was actually really good. And so and Club Shop Am was there, and a load of guys, about 25 or 30 of us actually, I think it was, and we had a right laugh. The DJ there was fantastic, the music, drinks, met a couple of friends I haven't seen since the World Cup in 2019 in France as well, so it was really good. So we went there afterwards and ended up staying out till about 11 o'clock till the lights came up and they sort of kicked us out of the place. So the need for me to have a drink on Sunday was very minimal, let's just put it that way. So I drove, so as far as I'm concerned, I saw the day in sort of sober eyes. And like I said, lack of Leicester fans for me again, obviously learning the turf, I like to mix with the opposition just to find out what the vibe is beforehand. So we didn't quite get that, which is a bit of a shame, we didn't get that. Inside the stadium, I thought, again, the singing was all right. But again, it's this game. At the beginning, I thought, yeah, everyone's pointing for it, but it just petered off a little bit. It picked up, obviously, when we scored, but then when it just went flat again. And I think we need to work out how we can kind of keep it going for games like your Leicesters and your Norwiches and your Burnleys and your teams like that, who are not your Chelseas and your Man United, who are your newspaper headline type teams. But, can keep it going through that, because, as we go into our second or third season, if we, fingers crossed, could do this in the stadium here, we're going to, I'd say the novelty's going to wear off, but we're going to have to be here, and we're going to see these teams play a few times, so we're not going to need to pick it up against them. And we don't want it to be the old library, because we're already, the fact that we're not massively feared, but the stadium is not as ferocious as I would like to think it would be for maybe teams like this, as it is for your Liverpools and your Chelseas when they come here, when it's absolutely ferocious. And we need to try and see how we can flip that. So for me, the away day or the day out for me was probably a 7 out of 10 kind of Laney. We did all right, but could do better. So I'm going to ask the question now, because we ask this every week, and it comes out, and the info goal gives us the fairness of the result. And like I said to you, we thought we did pretty well, but we didn't quite get the result we wanted. So how fair was this result for you, the Allard?
60%, I said, and I don't know what it actually is, but that's what I said. That was my feeling. I haven't cheated. I put that out there early yesterday, I think.
Yes, that's right. So 60%. So you thought it was unfair, but not mad.
So to try and explain it, I think the XG is something like 1.4 to us, 1.01 to them. So probably fair is 1-1, but I guess 2-1 either way is still somewhat fair. Didn't feel fair, but I'm thinking it probably was fairish. 60% fair.
All right. Laney.
I believe I said 43%. I think it was 43% fair. I think
you said 42%.
42. Okay, I'll stick to 42. I think the amount of chances we created in the first half were way better than the amount of chances they created, other than the two goals they scored. I think we deserved at least one more, so that makes it unfair. I think on another day we win that game. So yeah, I'd say less than 50, maybe 45, but I'll stick to 42.
Okay, and just to let you know, so on that one, like I said, 1.39 to 1.01 on the XG front as well. Pontus Janssen, again, missing another chance, 50, just over, basically one in two would have gone in the back of the net for that one, and he misses yet again on the ninth, on the third minute, actually, wasn't it? Very, very early on. That was the biggest chance of the game for us as well. You know, Ivan Toney missed the chances at 12%. You know, we had quite a few sort of 10% chances in and around the area, probably about 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 sort of kind of chances in and around the area, which we probably could or should have scored. They were a lot lower than that. Pontus Janssen, which is a massive chance, you know. As for Leicester, like I said to you, they obviously had the Maddison goal, which he scored, which was, again, pretty similar to the Janssen chance, 1 in 2, you know. But other than that, they had a couple of chances, like, you know, Dakar and Perez as well, which were perhaps sort of 1 in 10. In and around the area, they had a couple of those, and then, but other than that, the goal that they scored, which was I don't even know what that was. That was ridiculous. Like, you know, I don't even know what that was. That was I think that was 1 in. I can't even measure.
I think you said 1 in 100. I think you said 1 in 100 after the post, in the post match yesterday. I think you said 1 in 100.
I think it is 1 in 100. Quite literally, it was 1 in 100 of those going in the back of the net. So that kind of shows you what you play with. So on a fairness front, like I said to you, for me, I actually went for 55% as well, you know, just sort of saying that I thought that, you know, probably we could have actually got a result out there. And the actual fairness rating on this one was probably a little bit higher than we all thought, which was 70.1, actually, in a fairness rating. So it was in the yellow, which means that it was unfair and amber unfairness, but still, it was and it probably could have gone either way, but it was saying, you know, it was unfair, but probably, you know, fair play to them. 2-1 was good as it is, considering the chances. So there you go. Let's have a little bit of a league recap. So where are we at the moment now? So we are Brentford. We have played, let me just have a look at where the recap is. We have played 9 games. We're in 12th place. We're 3 points off 6th place, which is Spurs. We're at 8 points off 17th place, which is Burnley. We've got Wolves, Arsenal and Leicester just above us. We've got Villa, Watford and Palace just below us. So I'm just saying, so that's, again, listen, you would have taken that a couple of months ago, wouldn't you, Laney?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, we've got 3 games now that we should be expecting to pick up some points. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say they're the 3 bottom teams and we should win. We should be getting 9 points. It's not going to work like that. They're scrapping. So I think we will get points. We're not going to draw a blank from the next 3. So our league position will improve. It's still really tight there. You know, a win yesterday, we go into the top 6. Or we go 4th. We could have gone 4th or something ridiculous. So anything is still possible. We need to put on a little run now. But it's just the injuries. So, yeah, the league's looking good. You know, we're so far away from the trapdoor nonsense that's going on down the bottom. And long may that continue, because that gives us the freedom and the capacity to kind of like just keep playing our way and learn. You know, next year we might flip it up a little bit, but for the moment, you know, it's going our way, even though it doesn't look like it sometimes.
Just quickly, are there any results over the weekend that you thought, okay, that's interesting, or that might do us a bit of a favour?
Leeds not winning again. I think Leeds are going to, you know, they will win at some stage. I think that they're, you know, the myth of Bielsa is something that's entertaining me at the moment. And the, you know, Burnley not winning again, that's good. Norwich hemorrhaging, that's good. Watford's game was obviously totally bonkers. That won't happen again every week, but you know, that was incredible to see that. I think Everton, it was a game that I was kind of thinking, oh god, you know, that's going to be a right toughie, but you know, they're far from the finished article as well. And I just think there's so many teams that are just kind of inconsistent. That allows us to be slightly as well. And I think we'll do all right in the coming weeks. And then, you know, December's just crazy month. So, yeah, all good so far.
Okay, and then I'll quickly, just any results there for you?
The Watford result, is it? I don't know if it's warning signals or whether you just write it off as a freak result. I'm not really sure. I kind of thought Watford, if you finish above Watford, then you've only got two more teams to finish above. Watford are sort of hot on our heels at the moment, to be honest. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a bit disconcerting, that one.
Yeah. And just going back to, like I said to you, Brentford, we like our stats, and every now we delve into it. If you check out the Pride of West London podcast on Thursday, we have Will Allsop, the spreadsheet winker, who's going to be giving us all sorts of stats on this game and also on the Burnley game coming at the weekend. And just looking at it, we're going back to actually one of our old friends, 538, as well, because we only seem to do this actually when we're doing quite well, like last season as well. Don't do it when you're at the bottom of the table. But just looking at their predictions, they have this whole mathematical prediction thing, and they sort of predict using, you know, your form and everything like that, how the team's going to do, what position they're going to be, what points you're going to get. And then, like I said to you, in the Justice League and in for goal, we're fourth with Man City, Liverpool and West Ham above us, you know, basically in unexpected goals. But they've actually predicted us to finish 14th. Now, interestingly, 538 have actually predicted us to finish 11th on 49 points at the moment, with 8% chance of relegation at the moment now. And this makes me laugh, 4% chance of us actually making the Champions League. Okay, so you're putting a bet on the Champions League, Laney?
I spoke to someone today that had put 20 quid on us to finish fourth. So there are people out there that are tucking in. Now, I'm not going to do that, but I'm not going to bet on us all season. I did all right betting on Brentford last year, but this year is too tough to call, mate, too tough to call.
Yeah. So, and just looking at, like I said to you, looking at this, it's quite interesting because they've got, you know, us finishing, like I said to you, in 11th place. You know, Wolves and Brighton, Leicester just above us, Everton, Aston Villa and Southampton just below us, 49 points. They've got Norwich, Newcastle and Burnley in the bottom three places, 27, 33 and 36 points they've got there, with Man City romping at the top with 87 points. But we'll see how that pans out over the season. We like talking about this because it's just a little bit of fun, like you say. But anyway, listen, just giving a little bit of a summing up on this game. Laney, give us your summing up.
My summing up is that we have to now put that behind us, and then we have to really focus on these next three or four games. Probably the three, because we've got an international break, and then we've got this crazy December and early January where, you know, we'll have to kind of, I don't want to look too far ahead because we talk about that on Thursday probably, but yeah, three games to really set our stall out, and that's not necessary to change much, but that's to actually start putting the ball in the back of the net again. And I think there'll be a little bit less apprehension and a little bit more confidence and a little bit more belief and swagger about us. Maybe not Saturday, because Saturday against Burnley is a proper toughie. But you know, we've got two games. I think Newcastle away is something that everyone's going to be excited about. I think we could do really well there. And Norwich is a game where, you know, we get at least one point, I'm sure. So, I think refocus on the next three games, and let's see ourselves pushing in the positive direction again.
The Elard?
I think in sum up, where we are, I don't think we should have been too surprised by Saturday. I think we've actually got a big game coming up Wednesday, because I really think it's important we come through that unscathed. Who knows what team's going to be put out, but the B team are playing as well on Wednesday, I think. So that would suggest it's going to be the bench plus other first teamers. We need to get through that unscathed, because the injuries are just starting to pile up, and I've always had this concern that is what could catch us out. Ultimately, we need to stay ahead of the game. We need to go into that December run well ahead of the game, well ahead of a point per game in the bag.
And again, we've got the match Stoke on Wednesday. I'm going to be going up there. I'm not quite sure I'm getting up there. We're going up there on Wednesday as well. Laney's going up there. Quite a few people are going up there. The coaches, I think, are full. The tickets have gone off sale as well now. And I know we haven't spoken much about Stoke because we like to review the match at the weekend. This is what we do on this one as well. But we'll talk about the Stoke game, no doubt, on Thursday. In the Thursday podcast, we'll talk about it in sort of retrospect, as it is, like, you know. For me, summing up, I mean, there's not much summing up to say other than we're still in the game. We're still very much in the game. We're getting more and more respect and some plaudits from people who are actually kind of tipping their hats and saying, fair play to Brentford. I think you're going to do all right this season. Like I said to you, the away fans have been saying that. And for me, that's a big, big thing when the away fans say it as well. You know, and the fact that also people are starting to write us off for next season, I quite like that, actually. Mm. They're kind of giving up writing us off for this season. They're writing us off for next season, which I think is brilliant. You know, so let's have some of that as well. So let's just carry it on. Big game on Saturday as well, away to Burnley. It's going to be a bit of a trip that we'll talk about that on Thursday. That's going to be a bit of a monumental journey to try and get there, because all the trains are out as well, so that's going to be fun. But anyway, we'll talk about that another time. But listen, this is the Besotted Pride of West London weekend review. I'm Billy Grant and I've sat here very jollily. I feel like, I'll tell you something, I couldn't have done this yesterday. I feel a lot better now chatting to my chums about this now today on Monday night than I did do on a Sunday night. So I've got the Allard in the house.
Yep, good shout. More energy tonight, I think, than there would have been yesterday.
Indeed. And Lelaney in the house.
Good evening to you, William.
Good evening to you, Lelaney. Listen, don't forget to support us. Buy us a beer, besotted.com/beer. Thanks for everybody who has supported us so far. Don't forget to subscribe to us as well. And also, you can chat to us on all your, well, favourite podcast channels, prideofwest.london, if you want to get us on the internet as well. We've got the next podcast out on, actually, say Thursday. It's going to be Friday because we've got a game on Wednesday, as we said. So we're going to be on the coaches and cars on Wednesday. So we record on Thursday, we'll get it out on Friday for you. And so make sure you consume, make sure you subscribe, and it'll go straight to your phone or your laptop or your iPad or whatever you do as well. But anyway, thank you very much for listening, everybody. Thanks for your support. Thanks for all the people that's come up to us. And we have very much enjoyed ourselves. And we didn't get the result this week, but hopefully we'll get a result on Wednesday and Saturday, as we say...
Buy us a beer.
Come on.
Come you on, bees.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.